Coming from the backwoods of New Jersey, welcome to the Jersey Guys Music Podcast, where we feature in-depth music discussions and interviews with special guests from the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and AOR music. So settle in and crank it up. Now, here are your hosts, the Jersey Guys themselves, Tom and Mark.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Jersey Guys podcast. I'm Mark Ballow here with my co-host Tom Coyne. Joining us today from Sweden, a classic melodic rock and AOR band, the lead singer from the band Alien. Welcome to the show, Jim Jahed.
Yeah, thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate this. Tom and we just talked about this before we started the podcast. We're both fans of the band for a while now. Tom a little bit before myself, but I wanted to ask you, going back to the debut 1988, before I do that, let me change courses a little bit. Let's say congratulations on the brand new album.
Okay. Thank you. You enjoyed this?
Yes. Yes. Well, that's something I wanted to touch on before we go to anything else. Let's talk about the first thing I saw when I got the new album, the album cover, reminiscent of the debut from 1988. What was the idea behind the artwork having that similarity?
The whole process is connected to each other, and the cover, the music. When we came a bit into the production and songwriting, and Tony and I, for the 1.5 year, we have had constant contact each day on the phone. To keep the process. And in the middle of that, we talked about the cover, and we said maybe we should use the same artist that made the 88 cover, but do it slightly different. Because we wanted to show people that we would like to do something that touched base with some really 80 feeling. You know what I mean? They should feel this is the second album. First, when you got this one, and this one is going back and that's why the cover.
Well, also, I guess the title too, right? You know, when yesterday comes around, it kind of gives you that feeling.
I mean, people say, "Oh, we're going back." We're going back in a way, but at the same time, we don't. Because we have a modern sound, we have a thinking about what we wanted to do that is now up to date. But we went back in the songwriting, especially. And that's why don't we call it, I said, When Yesterday Comes Around. Okay. It's another way to bring us back.
Sure, yeah.
But the song Yesterday Comes Around is it's another story. It's more of a story of a guy thinking back in time, and so that's the title. How would that come to be?
Okay, all
right, yeah.
But truth be told, a lot of people were really waiting for you guys to go back to that original sound, because the band has taken a lot of different twists and turns sound wise over the decades, and I think there were, myself included, a lot of people wanted that shift back to the vintage debut.
Yeah, I think so. You also have to remember that I left the band the same year we had our break, in 88, and they got a new singer, and then the band took another turn where the only member left was Tony, who is the founder of the band. So different ways, and Tony and I got together in 2004, and we wrote Dark Eyes, released in 2005. So, and there we began to to write stuff a bit more together. But then we got together with the other guys and we just made a reunion in 2010 just to do some shows. Mm. And then we decided to do an album again, 2014. And there we tried to make a record that was similar to the first one. But today we can easily see that we didn't get there with that album. We did it with this one. Mm. And it is what it is. But I agree with you. I think many people have been waiting for this album.
Yeah.
Now, how well did that debut album do in Europe, and how well did it do or not do in the States? And did that have anything to do with you leaving the band?
No, me leaving the band was a situation where I got married in the middle of the tour and got a kid also in the middle of the tour. And I have I thought everything were spinning so fast. So I didn't feel comfortable. So I asked for a break. But understandable, the band and the company wanted to keep rolling on what we've been starting. But afterwards, I know Tony had told me, Jim, we should have made a break.
Mm.
Yeah, because when I left the band, no one in the band was thinking about that more than they were sad because I left. I was a part of the group. But what we didn't realize there was, what I heard is that the States were a bit withdrawn. They didn't have the same, ambition when I left them because they lost the voice.
Yeah.
So I think the process in making us big in the States.
The momentum.
Right.
Momentum. Because then we realized how important other people thought the singer was.
Mm.
And we were just five guys and one were leaving and they were sad and we talked and I wished them all the best. But there were companies that thought, this wasn't good.
Yeah.
So I nearly forgot the question now because I'm just talking.
Did the album do well overall in Europe and the States?
I can't say for sure, but I think that we got a really good start here in Sweden. We sold a lot of records.
Mm.
But after I left the band, since it happened in 88, it really took the trip for the band another way. Not up.
Yeah.
Slightly not down. But so I don't think we sold many records in the USA. I don't think we sold many records anywhere.
Mm. Other than Sweden.
I think Alien is saved by internet.
Well, I mean, the Alien debut, and Tom mentioned before we started that he was turned on to the album pretty early. Myself, like, I'm a little bit younger than Tom, but I can say, like, in 1988, you know, being in America, I was really looking at bands like Bon Jovi, Whitesnake, Def Leppard, the bands that were the huge arena bands at that time. Even a band like Europe, you know, from Sweden. But I wasn't aware of Alien totally until maybe like, say, 10 years after the album was released. Yeah. And when kind of the scene changed in America and the grunge scene and Nirvana and all those bands started becoming the flavor of the day, as a melodic rock and fan of this type of music, kind of went to seek out what I could find that was around the world. And that's when I got turned on to Alien. But that debut is really, amongst like fans of the genre, is considered like a classic album. I mean, it's got everything, you know. You talked about there was different songwriters on that first album, right? You did a cover of a Marble song from the late 60s,
yeah.
Which is funny because we just had Graham Bonnet on our podcast a couple weeks ago. So that kind of ties in as he sang on that song originally. But, and you know, you had like Tears Don't Put Out the Fire, you know, and there was, I think it had everything, that debut.
Yeah, it was like, I can tell you when we got the song Only One Woman from the record company, me and Tony went just blank. Because what is this?
Yeah.
It's a bum, da, 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 da. So we thought, we were sitting there one night and we thought, eventually in that night, we have to do it like heavy, slow it down, really slow it down. That's how the composure of the arrangement became. And here it was a huge hit here in Sweden. But I think I still think in some way we were saved by internet, because since we formation ended so quickly in 88, and I left the band. So, the consequences left us with no Europe, no States, because we were supposed to go to the States and play and do stuff.
Ah, okay.
So, and people have asked me, do you regret it? No, I don't.
Yeah. Well, not because of the reasons you said, you know, it was family. It wasn't, you know, that you didn't want to.
Because you can't see it before it, 15 years have gone by. You can see if that did I make a wrong decision or right. The only thing I was really wishing them all the best and were hoping they were going to make it.
Yeah.
On the roller coaster that started in 88. But funny enough, today we have more fun than ever. Mm. So we're not all five. But we are three original members still in the band. It's all only our three. We use higher guns on bass and keyboard.
Okay.
Speaking of which, was Ken Sandlin going to be part of this, or that ship has sailed? Because I always thought he was kind of a big part of the earlier sound of Alien.
No, he wasn't supposed to be on this album. The thing is that we really have had a meeting before the album, before this one, Into the Future. Mm-hmm. So we had a meeting that we discussed, do we want to do this experiment or not? And three of us wanted to do an experiment and do it a little slightly heavier, you know, having fun with it. But in that process, Jimmy and Ken decided to that they didn't want to be a part of that project, and they themselves decided to leave the band.
Okay. Mm.
So, and in the early days, I mean, it was like the band was meeting in the rehearsal room, Tony, Jimmy, Toby, Ken, and they were playing, and then I came in with the melody. And I think that if someone, I would say Tony and Jimmy, was very important for the sound, because Jimmy had a lot of keyboards and things. So he influenced the songs very much with his keyboard harmonies and stuff. But for sure, Ken is a really great bass player. So, I mean, everyone made the sound in a way.
Oh, yeah. No.
Ken was important, of course.
Yeah.
The original lineup was great. Ken, I think, is actually touring with Joe Lanterna now.
That he was playing in Finland.
Yes.
As it is now, we had so much fun with Into the Future. We had Toby, Tony, and I. Tony had have a really good studio in Stockholm. So we met up there during the fall, 2019 or something, and we had really fun weekends playing the songs and out there, and we arranged and tested everything that each and every one of us wanted to be tested to find the best. So we had a really good way of working. And for sure, this album too, we have been working very well.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about, like, on the debut, and I mentioned it a minute ago, how I thought the album did have everything. You know, you had the cover of the song we talked about. You had, you know, Tears Don't Put Out a Fire, which was a great, great kind of video track that you guys had for that. But, like, I wanted to, and if you could talk on Tony's part, because I know he was supposed to be here today, but he is feeling a little bit under the weather. But talk about, like, a song like Dreamer, which had a very, like, rainbowy sort of Deep Purple-y sound. I guess that was more of a Tony thing with his influences, right?
Yeah, it really is. And also Jim's keyboards and Tony was and is very important with his background and his influences from, you know, bands like Deep Purple and the bands from the 70s. I mean, he's been around for a while. He turned 70 February. Wow. And he is like 20 years in his mind. He is so energetic.
We all are.
So energetic. And the way we and they wrote music back then was that they dared to do special stuff in the songs. As Dreamer, when we suddenly stop and something is happening.
Yeah.
It's easy to do the songs from the start to the end with a chorus, you know, verse, bridge. But they elaborated a bit. And that song is really a favorite for everyone.
Yeah, definitely.
So Tony is he was very important there. I don't feel Tony felt so when we did Eternity. Yeah, I don't feel those songs were more built from myself and Jimmy.
Yeah.
And Tony did some of it. So when we did this album, I guess we're going to talk about that album. But then I told Tony before this album, Tony, if we should do this, you have to lock yourself in the studio and you have to turn down the light and you have to bring yourself back to the 70s.
Mm.
And you really, really have to find it from deep in yourself. And 6 weeks later, he phoned me. We talked, but he phoned me about that. Hello, Jim, I have it. So he brought at that time 6 songs to the table, and who is really Tony, as you said, in Dreamer.
Yeah,
he was now, and then I started to look at the arrangement because I'm a softer songwriter. I did the songs I remember on this new album, Little Journey, a little bit Journey. It's more my and Tony are more like a hard rock.
Well, Tony shifted the sound of the band very quickly, even on the second album, Shifting Gear, when he brought in Pete Sandberg. It kind of took on more of a melodic hard rock sound than the AOR sound before. And not to belabor that album, because I know you weren't on it, but when you heard that album, what was your opinion of it?
Let's see if I remember. Is the song Turn On the Radio on that
album? Yes. Hold On. Yeah. Hold On, Move On. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that is, sound-wise, it was what it was back then, right? But I really love that song. Turn on the radio.
No, I'm a really big fan of that album, the second album. I thought it was a terrific album.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah. Do you have Angel Eyes?
Yes.
And you have these Dice and Lemon.
Yes.
So it's really great songs.
Yes, I thought so too.
So we were talking about that. We have a lot of ideas for next year's 40 years, you know. And should we do something from every album?
Mm.
under the banner of ale.
Mm. Interesting.
If we do, I would really like to sing He's a Living or Turn on the Radio. So I agree with you. It's a good album.
Really. I was just curious. I always liked it a lot too. You know, and I had it when I first saw that you weren't in the band anymore when that album came out. I bought it as an import, and a lot of people were surprised you were gone. We didn't know the story, obviously, behind it. And I was mildly familiar with Sandberg because I believe he was in Madison for a period of time.
Yeah.
And I was pleasantly surprised with the album because I thought it really didn't stray that far from the first album. It was kind of more in the direction of like a band like Treat was doing, you know, more like melodic hard rock as opposed to AOR.
Yeah, but I mean, again, Tony, I imagine Tony wrote most of those songs because it is his style, you know, Easy Living, right. Turn on the Radio. It's a really catchy chorus. So I think it was a great album.
Now, you did manage to put out a hell of a solo album called Jim that kind of made the fans happy that you were back in the game, so to speak.
Yeah. But, you know, when I left the band, the record, what do you say, director, he asked me, what do you want to do, Jim? I don't know. Because everything went so fast, he asked me, "Do you like to do a solo album?" Yeah, I can do a solo album, and then we did the Jim album, which also is a classic, if you ask people.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely!
In its way, I understand through the years that it became a classic too.
Oh yeah!
And we did a cover of "Love Hurts" on that one too. And we recorded up in Norway that album. So
Well, and then 1990 that came along. So it was only 2 years after the Alien debut.
Yeah, because Anders, the director, asked me, and I thought, I would like to do something. I thought, and that album was like a lesser hard rock, more melodic, and sure. More AOR.
Yeah,
as it turns out, and
Well, I always looked at it as what the second Alien album would have probably been like if had you stayed with Alien. It was kind of. You know, more in that direction.
Yeah, maybe. It's hard to say, but I understand what you mean because it was slightly not so tough, maybe as Alien, but in the same way, the melody's there, and again, what I have come to understand that my voice in Alien. Was a voice on my own solo album, and it, you know, the melodic language is like so. But I really didn't have when I left Alien. Me personally didn't have a musical plan because I left because I needed a break.
Yeah,
because we were a strong formation, the five of us, and. And I understand, stood then that they wanted to keep the train rolling, but I didn't have a plan. So when he asked me, after that album, I went to Copenhagen to do some other stuff, more soul, but we didn't follow through on that project. And it was what it was.
Mm.
Now, the Alien name without you was taking a lot of different twists and turns with different singers and different styles, but then you came back for the Dark Eyes album, which was kind of like your return to the album. If you tell us a little bit about that album and then how that came about, you working with Tony again.
I mean, Tony and I got to know each other many, many years ago, and So we got in contact with each other around 2004, I think. I don't know. Probably Tony phoned me and asked, shouldn't we do something fun? Yeah, we can do something, I said. But what should we call it? And we thought we call it we do it under the banner of Alien. Mm. So, I mean, that's more of a straight rock album. It's not in the typical way we did it at the first album, but some songs, Cheryl Lee, and some songs have the same quality as before, but in the same time, it was a mixture of AUR, Thin Lizzy, and more straight rock album.
Right.
But I mean, it was what it sounded what we wanted to do back then. And I'm kind of proud of that. And I'm very proud of the album we released in 2020, Into the Future, because we have in a way followed what we wanted to do, not just what people want to hear.
Yeah.
Because foremost, I mean, you sitting and talking there because you have a joy, you feel in your heart, it's nice to have this program. We write music because we, and I can't stop thinking about Queen, the movie, when they wanted to do something and the record company looked at them and said, no way.
Well, Tom and I have talked about this because in the past with many guests that, you know, we're talking to guys that are older now and they're not the same person that they were in 1988. So when you're going to create new music, you're going to create what you want to create and you're in a different space and everything and different experiences in life.
Yeah, I think it is like that. And I mean, when we released Into the Future, of course, many people, what is this? And we got... certainly good reviews, but many were surprised because we put the song, the lead vocals slightly down so the guitar could get more, because we wanted to. I wanted to, because it's a whole, to get that wholeness, we needed to put down the vocals a bit so we got the hard guitars just to do it. How do you say? I can't find the right words for that, but do it all the way.
Yeah.
We took that album all the way, no matter what.
Mm.
And we knew that people were going to criticize it and us. We don't care. Yeah. I mean, we're too old to care.
Well, when you attract the purest AOR fans, they are the most demanding fans in the face of the earth. For the sound that they want. Like I'm a big heavy metal fan. I'm a bit fan of a lot of different music. So I could go different twists and turns with a band. But the average AOR guy, he wants that album to sound like it was made in 1988 or 1986. And if you don't give them that, they're not happy. So, I mean, that's kind of almost like a burden that you guys have had because you put out that classic debut that everybody in AOR worships and they want every album to be a cookie cutter of that.
Yeah.
And
if
they don't get that cookie cutter, it's, we don't like it. Like, what are you doing? Well, and it's gotta be a burden.
Look at a band like Europe, right? Who was away for a long time. They come back and was it 2004?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, even beyond that, some of those albums that they've done in the new, you know, second part of their career, they've been great albums, but they don't sound like the stuff from the 80s.
And there's a lot of people that don't like them. There's people like us that do like them, but
yeah, we love them.
Europe did lose a lot of fans by changing styles a few times.
So yeah. I mean, if I speak for myself, that haven't bothered me much because I started writing music and singing for a reason, because I loved music in a, how can I say, true sense, because it's a part of who you are. And if I want to do this, I do this. I have made two Swedish solo albums that are more like a lyric albums in Swedish, you know, because I felt like it. And it's like looking back. It was a great thing that I did because I pleased myself and I pleased a new audience, and I lost maybe some audience. But that's the thing with this new album, because we listen to new AOR bands, no names, but there are many out there sounding really great, really great. Mm. But we were thinking that we have to cast those bands to get back to what AOR and melodic rock was once back in the day, with the space between instruments, because nowadays, in a way, many bands pack things. It's melodic rock, but it's a lot of things going on.
Right.
And we wanted to really move ourselves beyond that, back to okay, we have a bit space here, no guitar, just keyboard, and then the guitar came.
Mm.
You have to be... do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like being a little more organic in your approach.
Yeah, more organic and willing to risk. Risk in the sound that it isn't occupied of sounds all the time.
Yeah.
So, and if we did that, the audience have to, and you guys have to judge that. But we thought we took this album as far as we could, sound-wise, and have space between the instruments, and did our very best.
Yeah.
Now, with the new album, has the feedback been stronger with the diehard AOR guys? Are you making them happy, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think with this album, we really made everyone more happy.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Maybe even coming from the previous album, right, where you said there was such a difference in sound, and that made people are looking at this album, hey, this is kind of going back to the roots.
Yeah, we had two reviews that wasn't that great, but honestly we couldn't understand it either,
because on the new album.
Really? But, and otherwise we really had this been in 88, this album would be a hit.
Yeah.
As the industry we worked back then. But we couldn't see, because if someone criticized something today and have a productive criticism, you can see it, you know, okay, we have to take that. But we had two. But I think the melodic rock fans and AOR fans enjoy this album. That's the feeling we get.
Oh yeah,
yeah. That's I've heard and read nothing but positive things about it from other people. I'm even shocked that there were two reviews that were not so much like that. But I guess you can't make everybody happy, right?
You know? No, the fickle AOR fan.
Yeah, you can't. You really can't. But you can. I mean, the most important thing, every album we make, it takes at least 2 years to get from scratch. And the start of this new album, or do I talk ahead? You have maybe questions about the latest album. Or should I?
Well, go ahead. No. Yeah, I had questions about this.
I mean, we did Into the Future, and time went by, and the pandemic came to an end, thankfully, and suddenly from nowhere Tony called me 2 years ago soon, and he said, I met Magnus Söderqvist. Magnus, I don't know if you know Magnus.
No, we both know him. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and
terrific guy.
He follows along on our podcast.
Yeah.
He's great, and he told Tony that at a music party, you should do an album. Try to do an album like you sounded before.
Mm.
And I have songs. I have some original songs that hasn't been released that you could try out and see how they feel. I had a lot of songs. And Tony told me, phoned me, Jim, I met Magnus and so on. And okay, we can listen to the songs and we can try do some demos. All right, so we did some demos, and we ended up thinking, there is something missing in this picture. And then we sat down a year after, I think, is it so far? Okay. And and we said, we have to write. We have to go back ourselves too. We have to think as the first album, our own songs, and we bring in songs from outside. And it ended up with two songs. We choose the If Love Is War and the song Strange Way.
Okay. Do you have the album there?
So that, yeah. I mean, Strange Way is from Firefall. So Magna suggested different kinds of songs, and we chose on the album, for this album, If Love Is War. And If Love Is War is really how it sounded back then. Mm. If love is war, baby, it is like, you know. Yeah. And then we wrote the songs ourselves. And as I mentioned for you, I told Tony, if you should do this, you have to go back and find, you know, take your time and come and bring forth your guitar riffs. Mm. So
I wanted to talk about another album that you did a while back called Eternity, because that was kind of the album that first of all, I think it was with the original lineup, and it was kind of an album that started to get you guys back in that more vintage AOR sound.
Yeah. It really was. And I guess on that album, Tony wasn't as much into the songwriting. What that album lacked was Tony's guitars, because Tony wasn't there. It was me and Jimmy. We did a lot of the songs on keyboard and songs, and I, in a way, took them, arranged them, and then Tony put his guitar on it. That's the difference when Tony is driving the
right
process.
I get it, yeah.
But certainly was a start back.
So that album got really good reviews. People like that album a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know the one before it, the Dark Eyes, there was a mixed reaction on that album.
Yeah.
But when Eternity came out, it got, you know, great reviews in Burn Magazine, in Japan, yeah, and all the magazines like that a lot. I like that album a lot too myself.
Nice to hear. But maybe it's my view of the process for that album. That if it was something, it is the lack of Tony's riffs and those kind of songs. That album was more of a AOR, a more soft.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You know, softer style, like, yeah. So, that's for sure. I love many songs from that album, too. So,
now, while we have you, and I know this isn't an Alien album, but I do have to mention your solo album called Full Circle, which I'm a huge fan of that album. That's a great, it's just, songs are terrific on it. How did that album come about?
It's interesting because it's one of my favorite albums.
Me, too.
Nice to hear. It was like I was called up by Tommy Dinander. Do you know him?
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Famous name. Yeah, yeah. AOR.
Yeah. And Tommy phoned me and said, Jim, I would really love to make an album with you. And then Tommy at that time knew Magnus, who Söderqvist, who had the record company Atencia. Mm-hmm. And so we... And I said to Tommy that, I don't know. I have some songs. Maybe you could listen, and then we can see if you think it would work. And he phoned me, I love those songs. We should do this. And then we got started. And I mean, working with Tommy was a joyride. I mean, he's so incredible. His musicality is great.
And he plays so many instruments. He writes, he produces, he does so much.
Yeah, and his feeling for harmonies, and it was a really joyride making that album. And the funniest thing is that back in those days, we didn't have a fiber internet. I could wait for an hour for a song to...
Right.
Okay, Jim, I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
You know, but we did that album just being sending stuff. He was sending me things, and I had opinions, and he continued to write, but we never met. We met after the record was done, and that was the first time for me working in that manner.
Yeah.
That but we didn't have to meet because we had the same way of speaking the musical language, you know. So, yeah. But I'm really proud of that album. Really, Full Circle. Yeah.
You know, the truth be told, without Tommy Dananda, there may not even be an AOR scene as we speak today, because he pretty much propped up that whole scene, and he had connections with people in the States, and there were, he had his hand in virtually every AOR project for a period of time.
Yeah.
And
he was really important for the, and made so much. I mean, how many albums have he played on?
Yeah.
I don't know, but what I heard was he now work with the Italian Frontier.
Mm-hmm.
I think he make productions for them, and I mean, he keep himself busy.
Oh, he's got a lot of
projects. So he is really important for the scene, right? Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he did an album with the American singer LeBlanc that we had on.
Oh, Robbie LeBlanc.
LeBlanc, and called Vital Lines. It's a tremendous album. It sounds like something that was like recorded like by Journey or Foreigner in the late 80s. It's just an incredible album. And he's been on so many things dating from like the mid 90s to here. He's just, I'd love to get him on the show one day. You know, he'd be a hell of a guest. I got to
put him. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if you just ask him.
Yeah.
I mean, Tommy is very social. And Tommy and I have regular contact, but not so often, but we always keep in touch. The latest I sang four songs on his of his last album.
Oh, is that?
I did four lead vocals for him last year. So then we had, and we have been speaking of doing a solo album.
Is that the Radioactive project that
he
does?
Okay. Radioactive project, his latest.
Oh, yeah.
So I think I sang four, and can't remember now.
We had Jeff Paris, right?
Paris was. We had Jeff Paris on the show a couple of months ago. He sang on that also.
He did four songs, I think. And so we have been speaking of doing, you know, a Full Circle 2 or something. But I mean, today it's, you know, being a part of Alien and being so much part of the songwriting and it takes its, it's for now, it's enough.
Yeah.
It's funny enough. Every year you turns older, Monday becomes Friday, Friday faster.
Faster, yeah.
I don't know why that is. Yeah, I noticed that myself, unfortunately. Yeah,
I don't know that. And you out there, your audience, if you can see me as your great host see me, I'm in like Santa Claus. It is like, but I'm going to grow it a bit longer now. Okay. So I have a bun here.
Okay.
So. But anyhow, I mean, it's strange in a way how this AOR music through the years have been,
isn't it,
regarded by the business like not so well in some cases. I can't understand why.
Yeah, I mean, from an industry standpoint, but I think the fans are always going to be.
Fans are there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fans love it. But it's like in Sweden, you won't get a TV show.
Well, it kind of got lumped in with hair bands, AOR, because there was a crossover of certain artists with the hair band sound, and the hair band sound kind of got a stigma attached to it. And I think a lot of the AOR guys got kind of lumped in that.
That's a good point.
You know, and I don't think it's ever really totally recouped. I mean, the scene is still like a good underground scene, but it's never come back the way it was in the late 80s and even early 90s.
I heard a while back that some of the big festivals would like bands. Like, I mean, we did do Sweden Rock this year.
Yeah.
And it's quite big. And they more and more want band like us to differentiate it from
all
usual. The heavy.
Right. Well, that was the good thing about festivals in the 80s, that they had that. You know, you had AOR bands, you had with real heavy bands. It was very diversified. Now, if you see all the festivals, it's all, you know, thrash and metal. And
It's a certain style.
Yeah. In the 80s, it wasn't. That's what made all these festivals so cool to look back on. It had pop singers and metal bands and hair bands and AOR bands.
Even you go back to the 70s too. I mean, you look at some of the bands that toured together in the 70s. Was it Judas Priest and REO Speedwagon played shows together? Right. It's like, you know, who would think of stuff like
that?
That
was very common. Yeah.
I mean, it's, but the funny thing now is we talked about the early days and I left the band and the band took different kinds of ways. And now, since this album, we have also been contacted by booking guys from South America. Mm. And I mean, we always get mail and from fans from that part of the world.
But oh, yeah.
I was thinking, how are we ever going to go? And suddenly, from nowhere.
Yeah.
We got last year from one booking agency. And now this year, we think a slightly bigger contacted us, and now we on the verge to decide to go in maybe in August. And to think that people there have loved our music for 40 years but never maybe seen us, and we have never seen them. It's like a life treat.
Absolutely.
You know, because we ain't getting any younger last I checked. So I mean, it's a fun thing that things now, and we got the request, been asked from Sweden Rock again. Mm. It's like it's a nice feeling.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's kind of go back to the brand new album, When Yesterday Comes Around, just out recently. You mentioned a few minutes ago some of your favorite tracks on it, but like, I would say, like, let's talk about some other songs that you really like off that album. I think track 3, was it Aiming High? Really, really hit for me. Is there other stuff?
That song is a nice story because me and Tony working with the music, as I mentioned, and Tony called me and said, Jim, you see me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And Tony told me, can you listen to this song? It was a song I had in 93, but it didn't make the album at that time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, of course I listened. And I called Tony up and said, this is a great song, Tony. Of course we should have this song. It's energetic and in the style.
Yeah.
So that, do you think so, said Tony. Yeah, I really think so. So, and Toby liked it too, very much. So that's why we did that song.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just listening to the album on my way to come down to Tom's to record this podcast, and that song jumped right out at me again, you know? And I was like, hey, this is one I got to ask you about.
Yeah, it's a good feeling. I love that kind of energy that song. It's as much of a it is what I consider nearly hard rock for me. Mm. Yeah. Not so much tougher than this. To keep it there is great.
Right.
But I mean, we had the funny thing with the first song, In the End We Fall, Tony were sitting on some riffs for a couple of years. And here you have the teamwork because Tony made the music up to the chorus. And I work with the verses, and I can see it clearly in your eyes. And then the chorus came. In the end, we fall. Mm-hmm. There you have Jim. So I went in there and put in the chorus in here, and he, you know, yeah. we have a lot of fun writing the songs. And at the same time, we write with the hearts, but we also write with our minds. Mm-hmm. Because we wanted to get it in a certain way.
Yeah. Well, you so have, everybody's older now. You have that those experiences that you can formulate a song in your mind more than just coming from the feel.
Yeah. And take a song like, for instance, I remember there, Tony could have an input in some ways to do slightly changes to get it a bit harder, if you say, because I am quite soft in my way of thinking. So we work very well together.
Well, no, it's interesting because I even, thinking back to the debut, what would I like, if someone asked me, what does Alien sound like? Like I would say, you know, is it melodic rock, melodic hard rock? Is it AOR? It's kind of right. It's got both, you know, so it's, and that's what you just said. It's your influence. It's Tony's influence. It's the other guy's influences all coming together.
Yeah. And this album and the last album before, Toby had been more a part of the, opinions. Mm-hmm. He could say, oh, watch out for that, guys, when we were in the studio. Yeah, you're right, Toby. You're right. But he doesn't play instruments.
Yeah,
he played drums. But yeah. It has been fun because Toby's voice has been, since we are three, his voice is more coming forward and can guide us sometimes and we create.
Yeah.
So it's really a teamwork.
Mm. So what goes forward from here? The new album is just out. You said you're playing in Sweden Rock Festival, and that's in June.
We have done a couple of shows here in Sweden, and we're playing next weekend in some place in Sweden too. But it's not a major tour or something. We do some gigs, and we're glad because we do some gigs before Sweden Rock.
Right.
I mean, reality is that we don't, even if we want to, it's not that easy to get, a full tour like it was before.
Yeah, like it's 1988, right?
No. But I think maybe we're doing this South America thing, and then we do Gothenburg and Stockholm in the fall.
Okay.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm.
So, that's really nice.
Yeah. And then what's the future hold for Alien? You're talking about new material at this point? I know it's soon, but...
Yeah, who knows? Maybe we write a new album in this fashion. Mm. Maybe we do, and Tony, we're talking about, maybe we should do an acoustic, unplugged version of the best songs of all the albums.
Yeah.
And so who knows? But for sure, something for the next year, because next year is 40 years since the band formed, since Tony formed the band of those five guys.
Yeah.
So, but we will see maybe a couple of songs or something. I really can't tell right now. No.
Okay, fair enough. Is there anything, Tom, that you wanted to touch on? Jim, we appreciate these stories today. Looking forward to, possibly some new stuff down the line. But right now, everybody enjoy the brand new album, When Yesterday Comes Around, from Alien. Congratulations on the new record, and thanks for talking to us today.
Jim. Yeah, thank you. Just fun. And I do really love your t-shirt.
The shirt.
Your t-shirt here.
I was telling Mark I have a little pinhole in it here, and I'm always afraid it's going to start opening up. So I hardly ever wear it.
He doesn't want to watch it. Nice.
I said, if I don't wear it today, would you be in here? I'm never going to wear it.
Oh yeah, so great! It's really been fun talking to you. Really,
thank you.
A pleasure. Thanks, Jim.
Take care.
Take care. All right.
Take care, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.